right now.
I have eyes to
see.
I have ears to hear.
And my heart is perceiving.
You're about to have a conversation.
And a gift of revelation
for me
tonight.
Amen? Amen.
I'm going to take you to
page 81
because that's where
he's had me in chapter
10.
And I know
that Paul Keith
wrote this book
quite a few years
ago, but
it's part of the
Thrones of the Soul.
But he's been
picking on me
about
the priesthood.
So we're
going to be going
over into the scripture
after, but I want to
just give you an
insight
of what
this man of God
was given
so that
we
could have
an opportunity
to mature
and become
what he's called us
to be.
It
says,
by
overcoming and
occupying our role
as priests
and
kings,
we will
first minister to
him in our
heavenly role
as priests.
So our
first priority
is to
give the
worship and the
praise to our God.
From
that place of
closeness and
friendship,
we
delegate the
authority of
Christ in
the earth
through
our kingly
position and
begin to reveal
the glory
and power
of his kingdom.
The
administration
of the priestly
ministry
equips and
enables us
relate
to
and
affect
the heavenly
realms
through
worship,
intimacy,
and relationship
with the Lord.
This
divine office
allows us
to enter his
sanctuary
and
draw near
to his table
and
minister to
him
by
offerings,
the
sacrifices
of praise,
worship,
intercession,
and
mutual
exchange.
Ezekiel
44,
verses
14
through 16,
which we will go
to a little bit later.
The
administration
of the kingly
ministry
provides
spiritual
authority
that
allows us to
relate
to
and
influence
the
earthly
realm
as
overcomers
and
delegate
his
victory
and
dominion
achieved
by his death
and resurrection.
Each
of these
ministries
or
divine
offices
has
a specific
function
and
related
sphere
of authority.
And
they sang a new
song,
saying,
you
are worthy
to take the
scroll
and
to open
its seal,
for
you were
slain
and have
redeemed
us
to
God
by
your blood
out
of every
tribe,
tongue,
and
people,
and
nation,
and
have made us
kings and
priests
to our
God,
and
we shall
reign
on
the earth.
That's
Revelation
5.
Verse
9 and 10
in
the
New
King James
Version.
There
is presently
a message
of preparation
through
the Spirit of
counsel
for
those
whom
the
Lord
is
grooming
to
function
in
governmental
roles,
releasing
the
Spirit of
might
and
power
to
bring
judgment
and
dominion
in the
earth.
Are
we
there yet?
We're
in training,
okay?
So
you see,
that's
part
of
what
you
and
I
are
learning,
to
be obedient.
You
need
the
Spirit
of might.
You
need the
Spirit of
his
power.
And
it's
to bring
judgment
and dominion
in
the earth
through
his
delegated
authority
that
he
imparts
to us.
This
will
be
establishing
of
his
kingdom.
We
must seek
first
the
kingdom
of
heaven,
which
is
both
word
and
power
expressed
through
living
stones
who
are being
built
up
as
a
spiritual
house
for
a holy
priesthood
to
offer
up
spiritual
sacrifices
acceptable
to
God
through
Jesus
Christ.
That's
1
Peter
2,
verse
5.
This
is
in contrast
to
the
prevailing
thought
of
some
that
we are
strictly
going
to
be caught
up
and
experience
the kingdom
only
in heaven.
The
present
work
of
grooming
and
training
will
precede
the catching
away
and
relates
to our
being
empowered
to
rule
in
the earth.
by delegating the Lord's victory before leaving the earthly realm. Now, as I was reading this, the Lord was reminding me, when he was in the earth and I was studying in John chapter 5 today and yesterday, about he never did anything to please himself. How much carnality is on all of us, and why do we focus only on earthly things and earthly requirements and earthly needs? It's because our minds are still on the natural instead of going a little higher each time. You see, learning to go higher is going to go against your will. Your will needs to be submitted to the Lord's will. So when you submit and you say, I can't do this, that's the beginning of being humble. That's the beginning of you being able to say, okay, I didn't get it, Lord. I'm going to just ask you for more grace because I need more grace. I haven't gotten to the victory yet. Or I'm on the progress list, but I'm not seeing the results yet. And that's what you're describing. You can hear something 20 times, and all of a sudden, oh my God, now I get it. Well, why didn't you get it before? Because you were clouded. Whatever was clouding you, it did its job. It didn't allow you to hear, or it didn't allow you to do. But that's coming to an end. Because 1 Peter 2:5 says, living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. You see, my friend John there, the other day, you know, he's just giving me a little piece of his revelation. And I said to the Lord, oh, this is awesome. You know, he was supposed to send me a link, but I still didn't get it. So I'll forgive him right away. Okay? But what it did is it prodded me. Okay? It prodded and it hit something. And I said, John Becker, I don't know if I like what you're doing right now, but the next day I thanked him. So you see, God was working because in the middle of the night, I'm taking Holy Communion. I've got my elements and I'm just being obedient to the Lord. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. And all of a sudden I heard Psalm 110. That's the purpose of your communion tonight. Oh, okay. So I went to Psalm 110. And I'll let you go digging. I'm not going to take you there. I am going to say, check it out. Because it talks about the Melchizedek priesthood. Well, I can relate to that. But I didn't know it was Psalm 110 that declared it. I might have heard it before. But you and I know when it triggers in, God is on your case. So he was on my case. And I said, okay, Lord, I got it. So now he's taking me a little deeper. Back to page 82. This is in contrast to the prevailing thoughts of some that we are strictly going to be caught up and experience the kingdom only in heaven. What a mistake. Why do we have to wait? Because Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom. When you're dead? No. The present works of grooming and training will precede. Okay, you got that now? We shall taste the good word of God and power of the age to come on this side of heaven. Oh. So try that on for size. Say, I will taste. The good word of God. And the power of the age to come. On this side of heaven. As the Lord's enemies are subdued. And put under his feet. Wow. See, when you get a vision of your activity putting the enemies under the feet of our Savior, wow. Then the Lord can come for his bride without spot or wrinkle. You see, right now you've got a sleepy church. A part of the church is alive, and a part of it is still sound asleep. And the restoration of all things is accomplished. See, Acts 3:21. Reigning on earth, are you ready? Revelations 5:10 introduces the song of the overcomer and their responsibility as a royal race to rule as kings and ministers to him as priests. Naturally, this passage points to the millennial kingdom. However, to be ready for this great purpose, there is a present ruling or overcoming in our lives being appropriated and manifested before we enter into the fullness of the millennial kingdom. In other words, you can't be a warrior until you've gone through basic training. Everybody that goes into the service goes through basic training. Basic is being the starting point. You haven't become a professional on any corner yet. Basic. The church is in basic training. Got it? For this to function, to be fulfilled, we must become habitations of God. Oh. You mean I got to make room for him? Well, I hope you will. And his dwelling place, it will not merely be the Lord moving through us, but resting inside of us. Okay. Now it's getting very, very, let's say, a powerful decision. Because if he is going to be resident inside of me, I won't be able to do whatever I want whenever I want to. I'm going to have to check with the boss. I'm going to be on my way home and I'm going to ask, can I have some help? Because there's a part of me that is hurting right now. So would you supply, Lord? And he will. He might get you to use a different road home. He might tell you, no, don't go there today because I've got a better plan for you. Maybe you're going to release a blessing to your landlord when you least expect it because I want you to give blessings out. Maybe I want you to change your mind about what you get in the mail. Because what you got in the mail may not come from the heavenly court. Think about what I'm saying to you. For this to function and be fulfilled, we must become the habitation of God and his dwelling place. It will not merely be the Lord's moving through us, but resting in us. This present presents us in our priestly ministry. Then we begin to appropriate spiritual dominion and rule throughout the nations. We operate in our kingly ministry. Crossing over to the promise. This is our promise and destiny as the dawning of a new day continues to ascend to spiritual heights from which the priests and kings will become apparent. From this sacred place, anointed vessels will begin to function in their governmental capacity and appropriate the Lord's excellent victory. This is facilitated as we give ear to the spirit of counsel, the spirit of counsel, preceding and release the release of the spirit of might and of power. Think about the reality. Jesus did not hesitate to set the captives free. Why? Because he had the seven spirits of God in fullness operating. He was a habitation. The Father was within him all the time. The Holy Spirit was working full time in him. And that's what he wants for us. And the church thinks that they've got it all already. Some of us have a little piece And we get excited. What's going to happen when you have the fullness of him in there? But he's not going to share his whole being and habit and inhabit us when there's a war going on constantly between your mind and your emotions. All right? There's going to have to be a place where you're going to say, look, I know I would like to do this, but Holy Spirit, I don't even know if I should be going here. So help me, because I need help right now. I'm not that smart, and I could be getting myself in trouble. So help me to comprehend. Give me the counsel. I need counsel now, not next year. I need comfort now, because I really am lonely and I'm depressed. Don't be ashamed to tell him how you are. He already knows it. So he's not going to be surprised and fall off his throne. Say ouch. This ministry will produce fresh expressions of wisdom of God. Fresh expressions of the wisdom of God, providing the blueprint and strategy designed for our overcoming victory. There are great and lofty things set aside for the end time generation. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Spiritual pioneers will venture behind the veil to secure this insight and delegate divine wisdom in this hour. Meaning you're going to have dreams. You're going to have words of knowledge. You're going to have visions. That's what he's talking about. Holy Ghost operating through his saints. Holy Ghost pressing you to bless somebody. And you know it's going to be him because you'll watch the fruit. Patterns and formulas. Much of what will be taking place in our generation will be unprecedented displays of his kingdom and his work. All patterns and formulas hitherto relied upon will not have the favor and blessing of God. In other words, your rituals are not going to work. What you've done for the last 50 years is not going to function. He's going to want to do something new. And the blessings and favor of God, as they perhaps have in prior expressions or outpourings. One of the hardest things for man is to relinquish the good in order to welcome in the best. See, what you're comfortable with is something good. But if you let it go, he'll let the Holy Spirit give you the best that you've never tasted. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Clearly, this is not implying that we abandon foundational truth, but rather the tendency to mold fresh outpourings of his Spirit into old methods and techniques with which we are accustomed. See, we're comfortable when we don't do anything different week after week. We sometimes become comfortable with the familiar, and it can easily become a crutch. Holy Spirit is preparing a company of pioneers who will advance over the deep things of God and demonstrate them to this generation. A pioneer is one who opens or prepares the way for others to follow. And I've shared this part with you before. So I want to go back now to Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel chapter 44. Because I want to concentrate a little bit about what the priesthood is required. And, you know, it's good to have information coming from a place where you can comprehend that you haven't got it yet. You haven't got it all yet. There's a process coming forward.
In Ezekiel 44, in verse 1, it says, the man brought me back to the outer gates of the sanctuary, the one facing east, and it was shut. And the Lord said to me, this gate is to remain shut. So he's definitely on a journey. Got it? I want to take you to verse 10. The Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray and who wandered from me after their idols must bear the consequences of their sin. They may serve in my sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the temple and serving in it. They may slaughter the burnt offerings and the sacrifices for the people and stand before the people and serve them. But because they serve them in the presence of their idols and made the house of Israel fall into sin, therefore I have sworn with uplifted hands that they must bear the consequences of their sin. They were under the law, they knew what they were doing, and they still chose, declares the sovereign Lord. They are not to come near to serve me as priests or come near any of my holy things or my most holy offerings. They must bear the shame of their detestable practices. What they were doing is they had their foot in worshiping idols to get what they wanted. And we could go on there, but I'm not going to. And the Lord was identifying what they were up to. But verse 14 is important. Yet I will put them in charge of the duties of the temple and all the work that is to be done in it. So they're going to be workers, priests. Got it? 15 is very important. But the priests who are Levites and descendants of Zadok, that's a Melchizedek group, and who faithfully carried out the duties of my sanctuary when the Israelites went astray from me, are to come near to minister before me. Who's talking? It's Papa. They are to stand before me to offer sacrifices of fat and blood, declares the sovereign Lord. They alone are to enter my sanctuary. They alone are to come near my table to minister before me and perform any service. 17 is important. When they enter the gates of the inner courts, they are to wear linen clothes. They must not wear any woolen garments while ministering at the gates of the inner courts or inside the temple. They are to wear linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments around their waist. They must not wear anything that makes them perspire. When they go out into the outer courts where the people are, they are to take off the clothes. Their garments are holy, therefore they need to be staying in the place where it needs to be staying, because there's a reason. They have been ministering in and are to leave them in the sacred rooms and put on other clothes so that they do not consecrate the people by means of their garments. Oh. These garments are so holy that they would actually have a reaction on the average person. Kind of cool, right?
Which verse was that again? I'm sorry.
17. Now we're going to 20.
They must not shave their heads or let their hair grow long, but they are to keep the hair of their heads trimmed. No priest is to drink wine when he enters the inner courts. They must not marry widows, etc., and it gives you a whole list. Verse 23 is the last verse. They are to teach my people the difference between the holy and the common and show them how to distinguish between the unclean and the clean. So he's teaching them discernment. All of this are rules that they went by. When Jesus came, what did he say? It is finished. All these rules and regulations were finished. However, St. Peter speaks about the Melchizedek priesthood, the holy priesthood that he's prepared for this day, and now the elements are different. Because you've got the blood of Jesus. You've got the lamb's flesh that was given to you. So you come to the table with a heart full of gratitude for coming out from all these rules, walking into a place of freedom, but you're still to minister to the Lord first. That has not changed. When you and I are in worship and we are in great grace to the Father and we lift up Jesus, what happens in the heavens? There's a change that happens. What about the change inside of you and me when we worship? There's an elevation of our hearts. There's an elevation of our spirit. And God is saying to me, at least, that's what my understanding is, we need to discern which spirits are pushing us. They failed. We don't have to fail. They made a mistake. We don't have to make those mistakes. We've been given seven spirits. To what? To overcome. If you need help, you've got seven spirits of God available to you to come into a higher place, a higher dimension. The garments that he was trying to make them wear, I believe, were for that day because they were ways that the people could understand. Today, I believe that when we enter his gates with worship and thanks, the Lord gives us garments of his doing, and he prepares us to go before him. So when we come to the knowledge of this holy Melchizedek priesthood, he is saying, don't forget, Papa comes first. Don't think for one moment that when you are ministering to him one-to-one, that he's not conscious of what you're doing. When you're at home and you're sitting at your table and you're giving him praise and glory, he's listening and he's watching. And he's going to pay attention. And it's not the time to cry out, give me this, give me that. It is the time to say, how can I intercede for the body of believers? How can I pray for the landlord? How can I pray for the ones that are taking care of my sister at the hospital? How can I pray for the children that I'm protecting on my job? How can I pray for all of these that I'm working with and that I live with and that I minister to? How can I pray when I'm being forbidden to see my own children? How? Because I'm the intercessor. I'm the one that comes between. I'm the one that lifts up the families that have lost their mother, and I'm interceding for them so they don't fail. Why? Because that is part of the cloud of witnesses. You're doing a homework for them that they can't do for themselves anymore. Why am I interceding for my family? The same reasons. The same exact reasons. I have some that are hurting. I have some that are having a struggle. That's when I sit before the Lord and I say, okay, Lord, which one do I pray for? Which one do you bring to my heart? What word would you want me to go with? And that's what he was trying to show me the other day with Psalm 110. Look, I'm first, After that, we'll take care of the other. And when we put him first, we're seeking the kingdom first, and all these things will be added. And that's part of the overcoming ministry. That's part of why we are still here. That's why he has kept us here. Because we're in training. Many have walked away. That's their privilege. But those who come, they need to come with an open mind that, yes, basic training is tough. It's not pleasant. But the end results are eternal. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
So, how do we go forward with this? I would like to take a few minutes with Joel Case. Can you put that on, please? I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes and let the Holy Spirit minister to you right now.
Let it shine.